ground wide to leave them open for so long. As I have wandered through this world, and as each moment has unfurled, I've been waiting to awaken from the never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my eyes tell me what you see. I hear their cries. Just say if it's too late for me.
Podcast contains views and thoughts that may not be suitable for younger audiences. Spoiler content will be included in this podcast, so if you do not want to be spoiled, you might want to wait until the podcast hits the archives. Accordingly, the thoughts and views of our hosts or callers do not reflect the views of the Missy AE podcast or any of the Whispers groups.
Welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE show. Tonight's version is our recap of Survivor 44, another good episode last night, our second medevac, so those are now out of the way. Both of them, who we said they were going to be, Matthew, if you listen to his interviews today, did a ton of damage to that shoulder and had surgery back in November, seems to be doing okay now. I kind of look for Jeff to let him come back too. And Jeff made it clear today that that was not a quit, that if Matthew had not left on his own, medical was going to pull him. But Matthew wanted to make the decision himself, knowing that he didn't want to be pulled. He wanted to just leave on his own. So that's how that went down. And now we're seeing a quote-unquote merge. We'll get into that. How is that going to work? Is it a fake merge? Are we just going to have to sit through two or three more boots before jury starts? Because how many have left so far, Steve? What?
We have about six that have left.
Six have left. Two more is leaving before jury starts. So this could be a fake merge, or it could just be where, you know, they're going to vote out two people, maybe dividing up into teams or something, and maybe two people will leave, and then the jury will start.
You know, it is possible. We have seen it before when they've merged them officially, and there ended up being, you know, one or two boots before the jury would officially start. So this isn't something that's considered to be uncommon. But, you know, last night I really thought that, you know, that was going to be a little bit of a red herring, and that maybe perhaps Matthew would be evacuated next week. But just the, you know, when they did the heroic music during his meeting with medical, that basically gave it away right there. That for anybody who pays attention to the edit, that gave away right there that he was leaving. Literally, like, it wasn't going to be a fake out. He was literally leaving last night. Like,
yeah,
what ended up happening. And to hear the amount of damage he did, good God.
I know.
You're basically taking a bomb to his shoulder and basically obliterating it in all different spots.
Yeah.
So I really do hope he comes back, because or that he's invited back, because he brought quite a lot to the Ratu tribe. You know, some could argue that he was the leader of the Ratu tribe before he ended up getting evacuated like he did.
Yeah. I thought it was another good episode. I think so far we've had a really good season. I mean, I don't know. We'll talk about the edits tonight about some of these players, but Carolyn is getting such a strong, strong edit, but yet she's going to finish in third place with, if the information's right, she's going to finish in third with no votes. And it's supposedly a really close vote. Let me see. One, two more leaving. Then one, two, three, four. Yep, seven on the jury, 4-3 vote, yeah.
It just seems very odd, Jim, with the way that they've been editing both Carolyn and Jam Jam so far. It seems very odd that an edit like Carolyn would be a second place edit, because it's different. Her edit this season is different compared to Cassidy from last season. Because with Cassidy, you know, we saw a little bit of her from, you know, before merge, but then her edit really started to pick up at the merge. Yet with Carolyn, it seems to be a very consistent, you know, we're seeing her be underestimated. We're seeing her play the game while everybody else, you know, they're kind of treating her like the ugly duckling, but the ugly duckling that nobody knows can actually play the game. So it's kind of mind-boggling, because she's being treated more positively by the edit than Jam Jam is right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jam Jam's just kind of getting a carefree, fat little funny guy in a suit, you know, edit. And Carolyn's getting edit, a good edit. But, I mean, maybe it's just because she's been making moves and playing the game more than Jam Jam has.
It kind of makes me wonder, Jim, if production – I know we discussed this last season, too, with the way that Gabler was edited and everything. But it kind of makes me wonder if production hated that Jam Jam won. So they're
well, that's
giving...
not the word. That's not the word. The word, the quote was, it was beloved by production.
Well, you know,
and but I mean,
really
you know,
we got to understand.
There's a whole lot of game left,
right.
And you know, there's no telling what, you know, Jam, Carolyn. I'm interested to see how Heidi gets so involved to where she, you know, makes the final three, and then Carson, as smart as he is, you know, finishing fourth, and Lauren finishing as deep as she does. It's going to be fun to watch at who does what and just how does this guy come out on top. Maybe he's just got such a killer social game. I don't know. But he was about ready to fall for that ugly-ass idol until Carolyn comes back and tells him no. And then the damn fake idol starts falling to pieces, beads going everywhere.
Yeah, that wasn't really that. And you know, I love how Jam Jam immediately pointed out, too, that it was that they were the beads from Tree Mail.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that wasn't very smart of a doctor to use those beads.
Right. But at the same time, though, he got very lucky that Matthew had to leave the game because was guaranteed 100%.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're going to talk about. It bought him, you know, it bought him a few more days, but now is he going to be an easy target when they're all together? Since you know, they had the bromance right in front of Carolyn, and they included Josh. And Josh tried this fake idol trick, I think Josh is still in trouble.
Yeah, I believe he is too. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe perhaps we see Ratu and Tika maybe join together to try and vote off a member of SOCA. Because let's face it, they said earlier in the episode that even though Josh was with Tika, they still view him as a member of the SOCA tribe.
Yeah.
But they weren't buying his whole thing.
I mean, it's going to be interesting because you got certain players off certain tribes that are going to be getting in trouble soon, like, of course, Josh. Kane, Brandon, then probably, you know, we can start looking at Matt and Franny after that, maybe Danny. It's just going to be interesting to how we get down to who we get down to. You know, it'll probably have a lot to do with idols, advantages.
Right.
But
by
I think,
the way, I did call. I did call. What's his name? Being friend zoned last night. Matt being friend zoned by Franny.
Oh.
Yeah, I called that. I knew
Franny
at
and
some
Matt.
Point it was going to happen. Yeah. But anyways, Jim, we do have quite a few people on the line with us right now. We have Melissa, we have JB, we have Eddie, and we have Reggie with us, and we also have Tim in the chat room to start off the night.
Okay. All right, Tim in chat. All right. Well, let's go to the ladies first. Since they are the ones that have the strongest opinion about Carolyn, we'll start with Melissa. Carolyn, what did you think? I mean, Melissa, what did you think about Carolyn last night? With them trying to pull the bromance thing right in front of her, and her coming back and getting with Jam Jam and saying, "We don't want Josh."
Well, I know it was annoying for her, and I would be annoyed too if they were talking like she wasn't even in the room. And then they were getting so excited, and then when she'd peep up, they'd say, "Oh yeah, well, you know." And then they try to include her, but then they go right back to it. So. But the thing is,
yeah, you could Carolyn, tell they were
Carolyn. Yeah,
Melissa, you could tell when they kept going. You know, when they would keep bringing her into it, they were basically just putting her name there and then just dismissing her right all over again.
Right, exactly. So, you know, she drives me nuts. She really does, but she's smart. But one of the things I have to say is that had she got up in my face like she did with Jam Jam last night, I would have been slapping her away. Get out of my face. Getting up there and making squares in my face, ooh, I would have been pushing her away from me. Get away from me. I hate when people do that. They just get up in your face like that. It drives me insane. Okay. So, yeah.
But overall, you know, and the question, but, you know, with her and Jam Jam being together from the start and with the two different types of edits, you know, that they're getting, I guess it kind of makes sense that you know, Jam Jam's going to win because they don't usually give this strong of an edit to the winner.
Yeah.
Like they're giving Carolyn.
To be fair, she is playing circles around him right now.
Oh, I know.
He's definitely going to be a WTF winner. Another WTF winner.
Yeah.
I mean, he just looks like he's just cracking jokes and having a good time, and Carolyn's just working her ass off trying to play. And even Carson has outplayed Jam Jam.
Oh yeah, well he from the beginning. Yeah.
And I mean, whether you like him or not, Matt from Soka has outplayed him. And whether you like her or not, Lauren is probably out. If Matthew wouldn't have got injured, he would have outplayed him. I mean, I didn't mean Matt. I meant Danny from Soka. Danny from Soka has outplayed him. He must have a hell of a second half. That's all I know.
Well, it could be one of those they feel betrayed by Heidi or they feel betrayed by Carolyn. And had Carson been there, he probably would have won. But since he wasn't, oh, well, I guess we're just going to go with Jam Jam then, you know?
Yeah,
they couldn't
bring themselves
to vote for Carolyn. And I totally understand that because I don't think that I could really bring myself to vote for her either. I don't care how well she's played the game. She's just that annoying. But anyway.
Yeah. You
know okay. How it is.
Reggie.
Yeah.
What did you think about Carolyn last night?
Not much. But she plays the game. I got that. I just if I don't have to look at her, like at the very end, all those facial expressions and blah, 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 it's like, Carolyn, chill. You know she's got a beautiful body and she's got a nice face. But when she does all that stuff with her neck and her face and all this, it just irritates me. And I don't know if it's a tick or a twitch or what, but I do know if I was out there, I would vote for the palm tree.
Right.
Yeah. Yam Yam said something about, well, what can we vote for, a palm tree? And I thought, yep, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
I love that when he said that.
We can't necessarily poke the coconut off the pine tree, can we? Yeah.
I love that. I sat here and I just laughed and laughed. I stopped the TV and I kind of rewound it a little bit and I heard that again. I was like, you know, he comes up with one-liners. Personally, I don't really care for the final three at all, but I don't know. I mean, they play the game. I'm not out there, but, you know, I like how she was very honest about, you know, when they went to the island and they just got to eat. And I thought, oh, man, that's probably the bad thing to say because now they're all going to think she's, you know, strong and this and that. But, you know,
it's either that or let them think you got an idol or an advantage.
Exactly. I agree with that. But then what was I going to say? My train of thought just left me. It's like,
You were talking about they would probably think, well, she's going to be strong for challenges and stuff now.
Yes, that's what I thought. And then, what I did think really quickly was, is there a merge next week? Because they all are lined up at the very end. They were all lined up.
Yeah, they're all together next week.
So that means Josh kind of got. I don't know what pecking order Josh goes in, but I think he bought himself a couple more days.
Josh is still in deep trouble.
Oh, I'm sure he is. But does he go next week or the week after?
Pretty sure he's going next week.
Oh, is he really? Because of they're going to spread around that he made a fake idol.
Yep, they're going to spread that around. They're going to spread that around. They're going to spread around that Bro Alliance.
Yep, and are they going to...
And once it comes out about that fake idol, even that Bro Alliance will turn on him.
Yep, and also I was going to ask, I'm having a hard time thinking today. I've had a rough week. But anyway, Carolyn, is she going to let everybody know that Josh told them the others that went to the island the first time last week? Is she going to tell everybody in the alliance, or I mean not the alliance, but all in, you know, the merge, what the people received the first week they went to the island?
I don't know if
she
is.
I was really curious about that because I'm thinking, you know, she was quick enough to tell Yam Yam or Jam Jam, I don't know his name. I'm just going to call him Jam Jam. And so, you know, she was quick to tell, you know, the people on the island that. So when they were eating before the bromance began, I thought that was just stupid. Did they not? I'm glad they get to sit at home and watch back and see her face. Now there I can see. I would have been making faces too, like, what the hell? Am I invisible?
I know. And then when she would say something, they would say, oh, yeah, and, you know, and you, Carolyn, and then they'd go right back to, but boy, you know,
yeah.
Josh.
Yeah, the boy. Yeah, it was like how and I would have loved to had cameras in their homes last night to see their reaction when they seen that. That would have been the best program, you know.
I mean, it's okay. It's okay if that was going to be their game play and their strategy, but don't sit there and do it right in front of a female.
Well, especially one that's out playing, and I don't like to admit it, but I have to. I give credit where credit's due, especially the female that's out playing everybody else at this moment.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't really care for her, but you got to give credit where credit's due, and nobody is out playing.
Oh, no.
Well, the thing about her, and this goes for Carson, too, they have both been gathering lots of information that they can use now.
Yeah.
So, can y'all hear me eating my cheese puffs?
Yes.
Just
okay,
a little bit.
I'll put them up.
Just a little bit.
Are they the round kind, or are they them little, you know, are they them kind that are about as long as your little baby finger?
They're long. It's regular those Cheetos cheese puffs.
Oh, man.
Big
the least you could
bag.
Do is share them with us, okay?
Big. Well, I guess that was my way of trying to share.
Yeah,
didn't quite work.
I'm glad I thought about it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Eddie. Eddie, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Give me
you
your
and
thoughts.
Steve, I mean, Steve, my God, you really caught the edit. Like, you really got me there. Caught everything I've been looking at.
Give me your thoughts on Carolyn and hanging out with the boys and how stupid that was of the boys.
Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, I was talking to Jim earlier, you know, it's like, so Survivor America has become a social game. It's not who deserves to win, it's who's playing the best social game. And, you know, the past winners show us that, you know, it's all the social game. That's why I can see where Jam Jam's going to win it. Because he's going to play, they're all going to like him. Everybody likes him, you know? Whereas Carolyn, I mean, y'all can say everything you want to say about her, but she's a damn good game player.
Yeah,
she knows
she
what she's doing. She's really playing the game, and she's trying to play it, and she's there to play it, and she's really playing it like past survivors would. Not like, you know, I was joking about, they're editing this. I could swear I was watching a Hallmark movie last night. You know, it was like, you know, it's going to end well. You know, our Disney might have done the editing. PG rating. It's not the hardcore Survivor we're used to. It's gotten to a point where they're going for the ratings. They're going to do everything they can to get people to watch. And so they're going to make it like a Hallmark movie, which is exactly how it played out last night. You know, it was like watching a Hallmark movie, the way they edited it, the scenes, everything. I mean, y'all really were astute, all of you, what you said, what y'all called in the edit. I mean, y'all were just right on it. Steve, my God, I can't believe how sharp you are on it. And Melissa, you know what you said, too. I mean, I totally agree with you. You know, she is aggravating, but you got to give her kudos. That girl is playing her ass off.
I don't remember which of our ladies said it, but something about her facial expressions. Anybody remember Eliza?
Yes, irritating.
I mean, Carolyn has not invented this. There have been lots of other players.
I guess what I'm saying is she's so animated by it. You know, that's all you see on the screen.
Well, you got it too. She overcame a drug addiction, and it was most probably methane. You know, it was probably, you know, she was, and that's a hard one because it does affect your muscles. It does affect the face, as y'all well know. It affects you.
Yeah.
And she overcame a major drug problem. So, yes, I mean, give the girl a break. It's like a deformed person. You're going to criticize her because they're deformed. She can't help that she went through that addiction. You know, she went through an addiction and she came through it. So, yeah, her face, her muscles are going to twitch. Can't help it. That's part of the after effects of being on that stuff. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And God bless her. The woman is playing an unbelievable game. I mean, I can't wait to watch what she's going to do next. You know? And Jam Jam, I mean, he's like an old teddy bear. I don't know how he's going to win a challenge, you know. I mean, unless he slaps him to death with his hand, you know. I mean, I love him to pieces. He's like a panda bear, though. How does a panda bear make it that far in the game and he wins the game? It's all social. This season is going to be a social game. And they
I think so, too.
He's a big panda bear, and the audience loves him. They're making it like a Hallmark movie, you know. I can't wait for the part where toward the end, the last couple of hours, where something drastic is going to happen, and we're going to see you come through it. I mean, it's going to be just like a Hallmark movie. How are they going to end?
But, you know, but Eddie, you know, looking at some of the late-game players like Jam Jam, Heidi, Carolyn, Carson, Lauren, I mean, there really isn't a what appears to be a big-time physical threat in that group. Now, you know, Carson would be smart at different things, and I'm just thinking maybe we're going to see Heidi. Maybe we're going to see Heidi turn into a challenge demon
a
or
challenge
something. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's Heidi that does that.
And
because.
Maybe I think you got a point there, Jim. Maybe it is all Heidi. She's going to come through it, and she's going to pull them all together, and she's going to be the strings behind it. That's why she gets three votes.
Yeah.
I think you hit right on it.
Okay. JB?
Yeah.
Tell me about Carolyn and hanging out with the boys and then going back and telling Jam Jam, no, we don't want Josh. And then Josh's his idol just starts falling to pieces.
Well, me, I don't mind watching Carolyn. I like the game that she's playing. True, it's her facial expressions that she makes sometimes, but then again, you got to add that on to she's a drug counselor. She used to be on drugs, and maybe it's the drugs that are what she is saying and how she is saying that. And as far as when she was picked to go to that island with those two guys, I thought, why in the heck are these two guys just, they're just ignoring the hell out of her. And she's sitting there talking.
Maybe her, JB, maybe her expressions and faces there were warranted to try to say, hey, I'm over here.
That could be too, yeah. And I'm with Eddie 100%. This is gonna be a how do you say it? I can't think of the word now. It's gonna be a it's gonna be how they interact with each other. It's not going to be.
Well, it's kind of like everybody's been saying. It looks like it's going to be a season based on social game. It doesn't look like it's going to be a bunch of challenge demons going head to head. You might have one that wins two or three. But when you look at the last names, I mean, Jam Jam could actually win a challenge. Carolyn could win one. Of course, Carson could win. Lauren could win. I mean.
And
I've got a sneaky feeling Heidi's the one to watch about challenges.
Really?
And
that's
going to
be interesting.
We have not been halfway through the season yet, so we don't know what's going to happen.
We're a third of the way through.
Yeah, when they get. When they actually get to the merge and, you know, vote off the jury, we might see a totally different Carolyn. We might see a totally different Jam Jam. And another thing I was thinking, too, maybe what hurts it for Carolyn getting zero votes at the end, maybe it's her when they ask them questions at the end. Maybe it's the questions that they ask. Maybe she can't answer them.
Well, I mean, let's just be honest. She's outplayed everybody out there so far. But
oh yeah,
can you imagine her pleading to a jury? I think that's going to be pretty hilarious. She may just go off on them.
And I don't really see her telling the jury, well, you know, I've outplayed you, and I've outplayed you, and I've outplayed you. I don't see her saying that. The main reason is she got zero votes, and I don't see her. I don't see her saying that. I really don't.
Matt, and Brandon even shook hands right in front of her.
Yeah, I saw that. That was funny.
And she's just sitting there.
All she actually needed watching that was a box of popcorn and a soda. And just, like, looking back and forth, going, what the hey? Yeah. I do not understand it.
Those guys were just, I mean, let's just call it what it was. They were meatheads. They were just flat-out meatheads.
Yeah, really.
Two big athletic dudes thinking they finna roll over everybody.
And it could be they saw, you know, how Carolyn was acting, and they thought, I don't want to, you know.
Did you, JB, did you notice the little bitty scene when they're really getting into each other and she's eating an orange? And they look over at her, and she just spits the orange out.
I didn't see that.
I didn't either.
Maybe it was a pit.
You know, we have a bromance going on.
Yeah, they just kept on and on.
Just let her,
she finally spit her orange out.
She really spit it out. She just let it fall out of her mouth.
Yeah.
Like, drop jaw. Drop jaw, what? Yeah.
But see,
oh.
If they play it right, if Jam Jam, Carolyn, and Carson play it right, they can be pulling in information from all different alliances, all different players. Because Carson's gotten in with Ratu, and you know Jam Jam is going to get in with people. Because that's all he's going to do is just sit around and talk to people and laugh and crack jokes. And, you know, Carolyn's just going to be running around like the Energizer rabbit playing the game.
Yeah.
Melissa, you think you could have made a better idol?
I could have with my eyes shut.
That thing was...
And your hands tied behind your back.
You use the beads from tree mail. Everybody gets tree mail, so everybody has seen the beads. So that's the first dumb thing. And you can't even put them together where the damn thing don't fall apart and start just going everywhere. And like Carolyn pointed out, he used the same clue over again.
Hmm?
Yeah. Let me see here.
And when it first starts, Jam Jam's buying it hook, line, and sinker. He's got an idol.
Okay, so one thing that I did notice last night is how some of them just think that they're playing the best game ever in the history of Survivor, okay? What's her butt, Jamie, is one of them. Which I thought she was going to be the one to be medevaced out with her shoulder.
No.
Because that's what was said at the very beginning. So she's going around, I'm just this great, you know, basically saying that she's this wonderful player. and everybody would be smart to latch on to her.
And she also said, she also said she was now on a tribe that if she could have made her pick, this is the tribe I would have chosen.
Yeah, so. Because they're all meditators and yoga, whatever.
Yogurt.
So anyway,
you said
so,
it first. Yogurt.
So her, the other one is, Danny thinks he's all that in a bag of chips, and
so does
Brandon. Well,
yep.
Yeah, Brandon thinks he's pretty much all that in a bag of chips. Carolyn thinks she's pretty good, which I mean she is, but you just have to sit there and scratch your head saying, I cannot wait for the merge to see how these all explode together, you know?
Yeah.
They're
well,
like gonna be like, oh yeah. You think you're doing a good job, wait till you see so and so.
And Reggie, we know when it gets down to everyone being together, I'm not gonna actually I guess we'll call it a merge because you're still gonna vote out two more people before jury starts, so technically it's still a merge. But you know at that point players start looking around for the physical specimen and start targeting them because now we're at the merge. Now they can go on an individual immunity run, so they got to go. So you would have to think Brandon and Danny and Josh would all three fit that bill.
Yeah. I mean, I hate seeing Josh get voted out because of his background, you know, and the diseases he had. God, he's been through a lot in his life, you know, being so young. And I admire him. Never quit, you know. I was, like, in awe of all that. So, yeah.
Well, don't
but
you
he's
think...
he's thinking he's pretty smart, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he does.
JB, yeah. Don't you think that it's all going to catch up with Josh, though? I mean, he uses a real idol. He creates a fake idol and uses a clue over again. And don't forget, when he first came over, they pegged him right away as a surgeon, and he won't tell them that he's a surgeon, even though he's got the tattoo for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I mean, everything's just, he's played a lousy game.
Well, and he graduated with honors, but he sure isn't doing much.
I mean,
you know,
JB.
Well,
right now.
Yeah, JB.
All of that that he has done in his life, all of that that he's done has made him a little bit conceited, okay?
Probably.
So he's a little bit full of himself. He thinks nobody can do better than him because look at everything he's done in his life. But he neglects to see that there are a lot of people who have come through, you know, all of those trials and tribulations and have come out for the better.
Yeah.
So he's not the only one, which he seems to think he is.
Well.
Okay, go ahead.
Eddie, would it have anything to do with Josh's thinking when he's looking around at who are these two people on this tribe? I mean, I got a funny little fat guy and I got a crackhead. He would have to be thinking, I'm in a pretty good spot, but then he just blows it all up himself.
Yeah, he's pretty full of himself. I mean, I agree with what they're saying. He's pretty full of himself, and he's playing a lousy game, you know? And he thinks he knows everything that's going on. It's just, I mean, that's not where you want to be in Survivor. You want to always be watching your back. And he's... thinks he's got it all under control, just like y'all said. I mean, every one of you hit it right on the spot.
And, Steve, did you notice when Carolyn came back and started motioning to Jam Jam, me and you, and pointing at him as, no, not him, me and you, and then they start talking about the idol and stuff, Did you notice the change in Jam Jam? He went from the funny little fat guy to being, he looked like a surgeon sitting there ready to just pick Josh apart.
Oh, yeah, because he had been wondering the entire time what happened to the Carolyn that he had been allied with. What, you know, what happened to that Carolyn, you know, that he believed he was basically going to go to the end with as part of that alliance. And now that she's officially back, you know, it's basically like, screw Josh. I don't care whatever the hell Josh has to say. You know, now I'm coordinated with Carolyn again. You know, my mind is synced up with hers again. So no need to even pay attention to what Josh has to say.
I've got the scene on now where they busted him about the beads and Jam Jam doing that confessional laugh and saying it came apart.
that was maybe one of the most embarrassing idols that have been, or I should say one of the most embarrassing realistic idols that have been made. Here's the thing that I hate, though, Jim. What I hate now is that the idols are—they basically look like little bracelets. Like they don't look like actual necklaces anymore, like they used to be.
Yeah.
So basically, anybody could sneak a bracelet onto the island. Like if
no, they can't. No, they can't. They check
sure?
Everywhere.
I mean, Richard Hatch did.
Hatch had some fire up his ass. I can say that.
But
Jeff knew it because Jeff questioned him one time when there was some people trying to start a fire. They couldn't get it started. He looked at Hatch and said, "Richard, I bet you could have started that fire, couldn't you?" Richard said, "Yes, I could." So they knew.
Oh yeah, yeah. They definitely knew when it came to Richard. The thing with this whole fake idol, though, you know, I just like I said, I hate the fact that idols are now being looked at as, like, you could mistake them for bracelets. It's, how should
something
I put it?
Something out of
it,
an Easter basket. That's what they look like. Something you have in a kid's Easter basket.
Yeah, it looks like one of those edible candy bracelets that you used to get in Easter baskets. And I guess the big problem I have with it is it's almost like, okay, Survivor is becoming more creative with twists, but they've decided, you know, screw the rest of our other stuff, you know, screw the idols. We'll just put a damn bracelet out there and call it an idol. It's almost like the show is kind of lacking originality at this point, or they're lacking creativity. I guess that's kind of a problem that I see with it, is that they're taking away from certain areas in order to compensate for other areas.
They're going for the ratings. That's what they're doing. They're editing for the ratings, and it's paying off. You know, they're getting the ratings they wanted. They're going for the ratings. You know, it's Hallmark wishes they could do a movie as good as they're doing with Survivor. But, you know, that's what they're doing. It's all ratings. They're going for the ratings. Whatever they got to do, you know, and it's one, my God, it's like here an idol, there an idol, everywhere an idol, It's like, again, like a damn Easter egg hunt. They're everywhere.
Melissa, what did you think about the relationship between Kane and Matthew, who was, you know, the medevac?
You know, to hear Matthew talk about it in his interview, that he and Clint and Kane were so tight and they were, you know, so aligned and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking back, huh? What? Because I really didn't think they were, I didn't really think they showed that at all.
Yeah. They haven't. They haven't until this week, I don't think.
And then, I don't know. And then him basically telling Carson, oh, I'm so glad you're here because, you know, I thought I was going to be the next to go. But it was kind of like one of those backhanded compliments.
Yeah.
Thank God you came in because now you're the target, not me.
Yeah.
Thing, and not
well, I
were,
think if I'm not mistaken, in his interviews, that, you know, he did not leave the idol behind. So don't be thinking that he gave it to somebody and we didn't see it. He said
he didn't.
If he said if he could have, I think the two names he mentioned were Kane and Carson.
Well, he said that he would, if he could give it secretly, if he could give it secretly, he'd give it to Kane to help him further in the game.
Yeah,
but
if
he had to do it, if he had to do it publicly in front of everybody else, he would have given it to Carson or Lauren to put targets on their back.
Right, right, right.
To pull them away from Kane, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Reggie, what did you make of the Matthew injury? I mean, it turned out being so severe that maybe he should have left, you know, a few days before.
I agree. Yeah, I'm so praying that, and we haven't heard, I'm sure, but I'm so praying that he did not prolong him wanting to play the game so badly that he ruined his shoulder forever.
No, he had surgery in November. He had surgery in November. He's doing okay now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't read that.
But it was
stuff.
It's like Steve was saying earlier. It was like a bomb went off. I mean, everything was messed up in that shoulder.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm just hoping they invite him back.
I mean,
you want Melissa?
He had breaks and tears and cartilage pulled away. He just really messed it up.
Yeah.
Well, I just hope they invite him back. I really do.
I think they will. I think if you're gonna invite Bruce back, who is only there for about 45 minutes,
yeah,
you gotta invite Matthew back.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Matthew had the more severe injury.
Yes, very
just,
much so.
Well,
now, wait a minute.
Ever...
That guy had that bad concussion and all. He was kind of severe.
Yeah, but concussion,
Bruce
you'll
was
get,
bad.
Concussion you'll get over with in about 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
I imagine this shoulder thing bothered him for a while.
Well, yeah. But I'm just hoping they invite them both back. I really am, because they were both good
yeah.
players.
Why don't they just have a season of? Won't they just do a season of all the medevacs?
Yeah,
that would be fun.
The one thing that got me during his exit interview is he was saying, and you know they had told me that his injuries were severe enough that they could pull him from the game, and he was like, "No, no, it's got to be my decision. It's got to be my decision.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm leaving." Right? It's like, well,
and see,
he really didn't have a choice.
Yeah, how would you have been, JB? Because I think if that's me, and the way my mindset is, I would have rather been able to come home and say, "Well, I stayed in there, but they removed me. They made me leave, but I was still playing."
Well, if it was me, if they were going to tell me that they were going to pull me, and I wanted to stay there, if they said, well, we're going to pull you anyway, unfortunately for me, I would have said, well, I guess I have to go, because if you're going to pull me anyway, I'm going to, you know, I may as well just go. And that's just me.
Yeah.
I want to play, but if you're going to pull me, then, you know, what choice do I have? What choice, you know, did he have, really? He didn't have a choice.
Well, he didn't have to play Tarzan the first part of the show and go climbing mountains and acting like a monkey.
Yeah.
Huh. At the end of the show, you know, when they show next time, we see all 12 players, Council. They've all got their torches. Normally, the person in the front usually have immunity?
I didn't know they ever lined up anyway.
Well, I don't think they do it always, but I think normally the person in the front, I mean, they let them lead because they want immunity. So you're leading us in. If that's the case, Jam Jam wins immunity.
No way.
He's in the front.
And then hell.
Oh, my Lanta.
And then hell freezes over if he wins immunity, because he's probably the least likely of everybody there to win.
Well, I know Matt don't have it because they showed a close-up of him, and he don't have it around his neck. So you can eliminate him. So, Matt, Yam Yam, you're down to a 1 of 11 chance.
So did anybody freeze it and enlarge it?
I've got it frozen. I don't know if – I think if I blow it up, it'll get too blurry.
Well, you can tell Jam Jam he's heavy. I mean, he's like
a
polar bear.
Yeah, you can tell him in the front.
Wow. Okay, then.
And part of the preview was showing how Josh was going around telling everybody that Jam Jam was a snake. So that's going to backfire.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to backfire big time.
Yeah, that I wouldn't doubt if that takes place immediately, you know, when they go back to the island after they merge. I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the very first conversations that we see. And that's obviously going to be, if he does win immunity, that's going to be the doubt that the editors will have placed into the episode to make people think, oh, Jam Jam's in trouble, Jam Jam's in trouble. And then he ends up winning immunity, and then they have to go elsewhere.
Well, if he wins immunity, is it putting popcorn in a row or something? Because I don't see him that physical. I don't see him as a puzzle person. What kind of immunity could he win?
I'm being
serious.
Maybe he didn't, but he's definitely in the front, and it looks like Lauren behind him. I don't think I'm going to be able to see no necklace, though.
Maybe he goes on a journey and wins up something that protects him.
Yeah, it's going to get so blurry blowing this up, you can't tell.
Really?
Let me just concentrate on him.
I'll tell you, if he really has the immunity,
if he's got the necklace on, you can't see it because you mostly see him from his left side and back, and it would be on the front, so you can't see it. That is Lauren right behind him, and I don't see it on her. And the third person, you kind of see in the front of him, and I don't think I can see it on him. Damn, Chris Farley may have won immunity.
Yes.
It looks like Carolyn, looks like Jam Jam all the way in the front and Carolyn all the way in the back. I can't believe if there's a shot of it somehow that someone that's way better at this than me hasn't been able to blow it up and see it.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't, it hasn't been put out there on social media yet.
But they would have to be going to tribal if they've all got their torches, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they would be carrying their torches.
Now, are they split, Jim, or is it the full?
It's the whole 12.
Because,
it's the whole 12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because there's been thoughts that it would be team against team.
Yeah.
Which it still could be. It still could have been team versus team. And maybe that's why Carolyn's way back there and he's way up there. Maybe they were on different teams. But both teams get to vote.
Or it could be they're walking to maybe an immunity challenge. Maybe there's two challenges.
Do they take their torches to the immunity challenge?
No. Are they carrying their torches?
Yeah, every one of them's got their torch. Yeah.
Okay, if they're carrying their torches, then they're going to immunity then.
No, they're going to tribal.
They're going to tribal. That's what I meant.
Yeah. It almost looks like they're split into two teams of six. There's a little bit of gap after the sixth person, before the seventh person.
Maybe they're walking slow.
That's definitely him in the lead up there.
Yeah, if they were in teams, then they would usually bring them in one team at a time. You know, if they were in teams, they would just have six people be walking in. And then after that tribal is done, they would then bring in the other six people. We would get two different walking shots. So this is one full walking shot. So it's basically all 12 are going to be voting at the very same time.
Yeah,
and they're
but
going
it
to be
still
at the
could
same
have,
tribal.
It still, well, it could have still been team challenge. Maybe six of these people are safe. Maybe that's why I can't see no necklace. Maybe it was team.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you think, Melissa?
Well, I would say if they're all together, it's likely they're going in as they're all going to vote.
Yeah. But it still could have been a team challenge. But everybody votes.
I suppose. It's just odd. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe six people are safe. And maybe that's another reason why Josh is in deep trouble. He's on the six that lost.
Yeah, that can work.
Yeah. Eddie, what do you think? If you got all 12 of them walking in with the torches, they're headed for tribal, aren't they?
Oh, definitely heading to tribal. But, you know, they say they stage it and make them walk and do it over and over. We don't know what production did, why they put it like that, you know.
Well,
I guess we're going to find out.
they definitely got Jam Jam in the front and Carolyn in the caboose. And we know a couple of people are still going to leave before jury starts. So if they're sitting around all thinking, wow, we made jury, count how many's there. There's 12 of you there. They normally don't have juries of 9.
Yeah, technically there have been juries of 9.
There have. But normally it's not 9. Two more of these people are leaving before jury starts.
Yeah, the next logical choice would be 7 at that point.
We used to be able to tell everybody, well, in a final 2, if you've got an odd number jury, there can't be a tie, so that's why it's always an odd number. But when you go to final 3s, it don't matter how many, you could have a tie. It don't matter how many people's on the jury, you can have a tie.
Yep. So things are going to get very, very interesting, especially with, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe we're wrong. Maybe Jam Jam is the one that goes on an immunity run.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, man. What kind of challenges could he win?
Couldn't you see him just sitting there laughing and saying, me, just keep winning?
I'm just sitting here winning challenges.
Yeah, me just keep winning.
me winning, I don't know. I don't care.
How I do this.
Yeah, I don't care. I have necklace.
Well, you know, who knows? We did say that his edit is probably going to pick up at the merge, so maybe challenges are a part of that edit.
I don't know. This could go either way. This could be a challenge of 2 teams of 6. It could be a big challenge with 12 people, 12 individuals. I mean, that would be a pretty elaborate challenge, like if they have to stand and balance or whatever. It's going to be a long line with 12 people. But I don't know if they do it in teams, you would have to think all 6 players on the winning team are safe. Why else do teams? So, but that's just interesting to me that he's up in the front like that.
The only thing that would make sense is maybe the people that maybe they'll bring everybody in, but the team that's safe, you know, will still be able to attend tribal council, just not vote. They would basically be just spectators.
Yeah, that's possible.
Or they could potentially still vote, you know, just that they can't be voted on. I don't know. There's many different ways that it can be taken.
Yeah, and if you really wanted to be tricky as production, you don't even tell them what's going to happen. You wait till they get to tribal, and 6 players are safe, and they think all 12 people's voting, and they've got it all figured out who's going to go. And then Jeff says, "Yep, you're all here so you can listen and gather knowledge, but you 6 that won, will not be voting.
Yeah, the one
and
that
then
lost.
Everybody starts scrambling around like, well, now what do we do? I think that's how I'd do it.
We will find out next week.
Yep.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately, tell waiting him. Another week.
Eddie, tell us some little tidbits you've noticed in the editing this season.
Well, like I was saying, Steve hit it right on the nail this morning when he was, what, everything he said. Everything I noticed, he hit already. You know, it was like, wow. It was very astound what he picked up on. So, you know, I have told you what I felt. You know, I felt like they're editing it like a Hallmark movie. You know, it's very interesting that how they're going for the ratings. And Jam Jam could win a memory challenge. Maybe it is something to do with memory. That, you know, they do have those sort of challenges. The only thing I could think he could win at. You know, but I don't know what else he could win. I mean,
what about that challenge? What about that challenge where they all stand side beside each other, and it's like they have something coming down on their head, and they have to stand on these two little old pieces of wood. On the right and on the left, and the one that the girls are usually good at. Parvati was good at it. Andrea was good at it. Trying to think of her name.
I just don't see.
Sometimes they stay up there so long they start.
Good at any of those challenges.
Yeah.
Only thing I could see him winning at is rock, paper, scissors.
Well, he may. I mean, you know, he's a big guy. He may have some endurance in him. Or he might just
You're
get tired real quick.
I mean,
I don't know. It could
no
go either way.
There.
Yeah.
There's no muscle there. So if he has endurance, I don't see how he could do it. You know, he has no muscle. His body weight would push him down at that point. At least I would think so. I don't know how his body could handle that endurance. He's real soft. I like him. I know I like him. I really like him. But he's just really a soft guy. He's just like a big panda bear, like I was saying. You know? And I enjoy watching him. I'm enjoying his gameplay. I'm enjoying watching him. I couldn't see him doing endurance, man. I just couldn't see it. I mean, he doesn't have the body weight. He doesn't have any muscle or anything to withstand being up there for a long period of time. So that's why, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, how he actually makes it as far as he does, and how he wins it. It's going to be really fun to watch.
All right. I backed him up a little to see if I can pick up anything from this view. Yeah, they're definitely going to tribal because they've got their torches and players have brought, they've got bags too, as if they're going to, you know, leave. All right, let's close in on you again.
I mean, I just, I don't know what else. If the necklace can't be seen on anybody else, I mean, we got to think about it too. With the type of clothing that Jam Jam wears, it's possible that the necklace could blend in with the clothing, which makes it obviously harder to see.
Yeah, anything's possible.
All right. Yeah, Matt definitely don't have it. They showed a close-up of him. Trying to figure out who that is behind him. See if they show enough of them where you can tell they don't have it. Nope. Didn't see enough of them. Matthew's got on what looks like a Hawaiian shirt. Matt, I mean, not Matthew, Matt. Well, I'm going to give up on this.
Right. Yeah, I mean, at this point, Jim, until we get you know, some better, because obviously there's going to be preview clips that are going to come out, you know, for not just on YouTube, but also commercials that'll air before next week's episode. You know, who knows? Maybe we'll get another shot of them walking the tribal. Potentially, that could give us some clues.
Well, it's probably going to be hard for anybody to blow that up to where you can make anything out of it. Because they were too far away on the camera. But if, Reggie, if Josh somehow survives this week, then who are a couple more people that could probably be in trouble?
I know their faces, but I don't know names. Not Brandon. Just the ones they highlight a lot, I know. And you said Heidi gets third place? See, I didn't think she would go very far at all.
Heidi gets second place.
Oh, see, I didn't think she would do anything. Is that the dark-haired lady? Is that the dark-haired lady that's kind of, yeah. See, I didn't, she just looks kind of wishy-washy, you know, she just looks like a mom, not very strong or anything. So I didn't know her name was Heidi either, until last night. But then I'm thinking, and then you said she got second place. It's like, what? What does she do that's so special? I mean, besides winning stuff.
I don't know unless, the tribe she's on, she would be around Danny, Jamie, Franny, and Matt.
Okay, Franny, I'm not sure if I know which one Franny is. She kind of, and I don't mean to be ugly, but is she kind of the heavier set lady?
I'm not answering that.
I don't mean to be ugly everybody's beautiful inside, you know, and I know this because, you know, nobody's. But I don't know names. I'm going to have to print out a flow chart or something.
Well, she's the black-headed lady on SOCA, which has Danny, Jamie, Franny, and Matt. And their players are going to go further than Ratu's players.
Wow.
So maybe, I don't know, with the Ratu players, with the exception of Lauren and Carson, they, you know, they go a long way.
Yeah.
But overall, SOCA's players go further as a unit.
Reggie?
Yeah.
I just sent you a cheat sheet.
I love you. Thank you. Oh, yes, that's what I needed. Okay, let me enlarge this puppy. It's Franny I was thinking of. I'm sorry. So then, I would think, well, I don't really, Sarah blends in.
Sarah's
Lauren.
Gone.
Sarah's gone.
Lauren. Is Lauren, is Lauren's the dark-haired one, right? Maddie.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Lauren's on Ratu. She's not with Heidi.
Oh, okay. And
yeah,
it's another
Lauren,
woman?
Lauren has the gigantic poof ball of a
yeah,
hairdo.
I love that. I love her hair. I love her hair. I think it's just so,
I do too.
It just fits her perfect. It fits her perfect. Her personality, you know, it just fits her. So I'm going to say,
if you want to check out some pictures of her at a viewing party, they're posted in both Whispers groups, but I also slipped one in of what she looks like with her hair straight. So you can see.
Really? I'm
like
going
too.
To look at those. Because, see, I think, you know, I think Franny will be the next one to go.
All right.
If it's
okay,
not
great.
Josh.
Okay, JB, who do you think's in trouble if not Josh?
I'm going to say possibly Claire or Brandon.
It's going to be tough to be Claire because she's been gone a long time.
See, we need
to have
a great big X across their faces to leave the goobers like me, to leave the goobers like me to know who's already gone. Because I don't know faces. I don't know names. I know faces.
Okay, I'll go with, if it's not Josh, I'm going to go with Brandon.
Okay.
No, it's not going to be Brandon. He's so cute. I like him.
He's not going to make it to Merge, though, I don't think.
Well, he's at Merge. He's at Merge.
Well, this is not the real Merge.
Well, you're talking about when Jerry. You're talking about when Jerry starts.
Right. Right.
Okay. All right, Eddie. What about you? If it's not Josh, who's in trouble?
I would say Brandon. I think they got to go after the bromances. If somebody, they've got to go after the muscle. Danny, Brandon, Josh. Those three are the ones that you kick out real quick.
Melissa, other than Josh, who were you thinking?
I'm going to say, you mean just off of the Ahsoka tribe?
Yeah, well, no. Off the 12 remaining players.
Oh, I would say Kane has something to worry about. Franny has something to worry about. I'm going to say Kane or Franny.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Teresa.
Hi.
Hey, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, sorry, I had it on mute because my dog was barking. I didn't think y'all needed to hear that.
All right, what's more annoying?
I had my phone on mute because my cat was yelling at me.
What's more annoying, a cat? What's more annoying, a dog barking, a cat meowing, or someone eating cheese puffs on the phone?
Cheese puffs. down flat. Cheese puffs. Yep, that's
okay.
It. Cheese puffs.
Okay, I got you beat, Teresa.
And your fingers
if
are
I go
all
to
orange,
my kitchen,
aren't they?
If I go
I
to
really
my ha- kitchen.
I really hated to put them down because they were good.
Well.
Your fingers are all orange, aren't they?
No, I didn't get to eat enough of them.
Oh.
That is why I don't buy them any. You know, I buy them every once in a blue moon because they are so good. I could sit there and eat them all.
Now I just hope there's some left when the show ends.
Mm-hmm.
So, Teresa, what did you think about the show last night?
I was thinking that Matthew was going to last a little bit longer, and I felt so bad for him because, like you said, he had been practicing for that show forever and then to lose out just because of an injury.
Stupid injury. That's what it was.
Yeah. What about the fake idol? Could you have made one better?
Probably not.
That is so sweet.
Well, let's just put it this way. I took a theater, I minored in theater in high school, I mean in college, and I made this dress for Sarah that was so atrocious. She called my mom and said, "Grandma, please tell my mom not to make me wear this dress."
What'd you think about Carolyn last night having to deal with the two bros trying to make their bromance right in front of her?
I'll tell you what. I mean, other than the fact of, like you said, the entertaining value, when are they going to start getting psych evaluations on these contestants?
Well, I think she probably did pretty good on a psych evaluation considering her occupation and considering how she's playing circles around everybody out there.
Okay, well, I'll give you that, but...
So yeah. Why should she not pass a psych exam? Because she makes funny faces?
I don't... Ignore me, I'm tired.
No, it's not just you. It's not just you. I mean, and Steve, this seems like this happens a lot with players. And it's weird how... The females will not like a female, but the males will like that female. And we've got that again this year. We had it with the lady that was a preacher.
Oh, yeah. She was.
The women hated her. And the men liked the game she was playing.
Are you talking about Marianne or are you talking about Shan?
Shan.
Oh, yeah, God, she was ridiculous.
It's definitely weird how... You know, I guess you could say opposites attract.
Yeah, it's like our men do something most men don't do, and we respect a female that's playing a good game. But our females, they just can't get behind them. They just can't get behind them.
It's not that they're not playing a good game. It's their way they present themselves. That's the nicest I could put it.
I think that's... That's one of the things I'm going to piggyback off of Reggie. A strategic game, she's playing a really good game, but on a personal level, she's missing her deck is missing a few cards.
Eddie, what do you think about that? How it feels like this happens every year or so, every season or so, how... There's one female in the cast that just really irritates the female viewers. I say that, but there's a lot of female viewers like her. Let's say it this way. There's usually one female cast member that irritates our female Whispers members. And the Whispers guys usually... respect the game they're playing and don't get into all of the, you know, the sideshow crap, you know, the funny faces or the animation stuff. I mean, it's kind of a trend now, isn't it, Eddie?
Well, I think that, you know, again, the woman beat a heavy addiction problem. She's got a torpor in her muscles in her face. She can't help that. That's like saying, I'm going to see a deformed kid, and I'm going to make fun of him, and I'm not going to like him because he can't help what he is. She can't help that stuff.
Well, I will say
she can't help that she went through an addiction, and her muscles in her face are going to spasm like that. She can't help it.
Eddie,
that's part of an addiction.
Eddie, I'm not even talking about her addiction. I'm talking about just the fact that she just doesn't seem like a very nice person.
You know,
she's
playing under the radar. She's playing an unbelievable game. She's not missing a trick. You know, the woman's playing an incredible game. You know, that's why it's going to be so shocking she doesn't get any votes. But she played such under the table game that might be why she doesn't get any votes. You know,
I still. As good a game as she's playing, I think she'll probably have a tough time
with the jury.
Presenting her case to a jury. She doesn't come off to me as someone that's going to be able to do it in a manner where they'll respect it and like her. It's almost like she could show up at Final Tribal and turn into Russell Hantz.
Well,
yeah.
That's what I was gonna say, Jim, is that she is doing a badass job when it comes to her strategic game. She's very smart. I'm just saying she just has not been playing the best social game and trying to develop relationships or any of that.
Well, to make it to the final three, she must be doing something right socially.
Sure.
I mean, you don't make it to final three with everybody hating you.
I mean, I will say that there's still plenty of game left. In.
Exactly.
She may grow on me by the end. I'm not like.
Yeah, we
totally
don't know what's going to happen or how they're going to edit it. And we don't know why they're editing the way they're editing her. You know, we don't know that.
They're
picking those shots. They're picking how they're presenting her to us. You know?
I mean,
that might not be how she sees herself.
I think Jim said it really good long time ago. People could seem like a-holes on the show, but be really nice in real life and vice versa.
Yeah. I've seen that so many times.
To be a counselor and what she does for a living, do what she does for a living, she's got to be damn good at it. That's not an easy job.
Oh, no, I agree.
You know, so she's got to be good at what she does. You know, and again, they're showing an edit the way they want to edit her. You know, we don't really know what she is. Mary Poppins. How much I couldn't stand Mary Poppins, but that's how they edited her, you know?
Who's Mary Poppins? Are you talking about the movie itself?
Mary Beth or whatever, the girl that won
Marianne?
Marianne, yeah.
I have to say there's very few people on the show that I dislike. Like I've said before, there's villains and then there's a-holes. And if she's anything, I would consider her more of a villain. That she could still be very likable. And just playing a kind of a ruthless game.
I think Jim hit it right on the nail, you know, right on the head of the nail. I think she and Carson are going to get together, and we're going to see a lot of gameplay between them.
Yeah, that would be a pair. That could get together and share information that each have gathered, and probably do some damage.
Yeah, Carson.
And then
very
we don't know how Heidi's going to come into that. We don't know. They're not giving us an edit on her yet, so we don't know. You know, what they had shown us, I mean, Steve was very, very accurate, what they've shown us in the edit so far. They've shown us exactly what he said. You know, it's so we're only seeing what they want to show us. And, again, we have to remember they're editing Carolyn the way they're editing her. We don't know why they're doing it. We don't know. They could have done better shots. They have more time to redo it.
They're making her a character. She is carrying the ratings right now.
Yeah. So that's how they're editing her. We don't know how many takes she did on each one of those things. We don't know which one they decided to use. You know? We're seeing they do multiple takes when they do those interviews. And they're going to make them do it over and over till they get what they want. You know? So we're not in on that part of the edit. We're bidding
Do you think, Eddie, I know there's been seasons where you've been very, very critical of how the show would edit. I remember a season not long ago how they just totally edited it so crazy, like they didn't want you to figure out something. They didn't want to give you a clue. They would give you a clue to lead you down a wrong direction. It was like they were intentionally screwing the edit up. How do you think this season's editing has been?
I think they've done a good job of showing us what's going to come. I think the way they've edited it, like I said, I think it's like a Hallmark movie. They're editing it for the ratings. They're not editing it for hardcore Survivor looking out. So how hard Survivor really is, you know. We've had 11 days, and they're all acting like it's, you know, they're having popcorn and candy, you know. We're not seeing the starvation. They're not showing us any of that. They're not showing us the wet. They're not showing us what they're going through at night. You know, they're editing it in such a way to pull the ratings so they get more people to watch it, and that's what we're seeing. We're not seeing what's really going on.
All right. Quick message about next season. They are filming right now. They're filming. It is newbies. And one of the main questions I've been asked by people is, did they go back to 39 days? And the answer is no. I don't think they'll ever go back to 39 days. So...
Why do that when they can cut costs by doing 26 days?
Yeah.
It's
almost like you can do 3 for 2 now. Instead of doing 2 seasons, you can get 3 with the same amount of time.
Yeah, it's all about making a profit now. That's all they care about. So
I was thinking about this when you're talking about the 26 versus the 39 days. When you look at the big picture now, since before they even start filming, they have to spend 2 weeks in quarantine. That probably there equals 39 days.
Well, it's not, there's more than just quarantine. They teach them and tell them about the certain things out there that maybe you don't want to eat this, you want to stay away from this, you may run into this. So there's a lot of that that goes on, too. But I don't know. I know new players will defend the 26-day thing and say, oh, it's still gruesome and it's so tough now because of all the idols and all the new advantages and things we have to deal with on the twist. And then you got all the old-time survivors saying, ha, 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 26 days? I didn't even make the jury and I lasted that long.
Yeah, really.
So, Steve, what about you on the edit this season? Do you think we're back to normal after those couple of seasons we had where it just drove people crazy?
Yeah, you know, I think what they probably did was they took a look at how, because you know, people may not believe this, but they do actually pay attention to social media.
They
and
do.
I'm pretty sure that's what I have read.
I still have the same, I'm not going to say she's a stalker. I have the same watcher that I've had for years. If you're listening, hey, Lori.
So, you know, the thing is, I think they probably took a look at the fan reaction to some of the edit over the last couple seasons, and I think they've pretty much decided, okay, we're going to stop doing the whole whodunit mystery type of season and start to be a little more straightforward with the edit.
Do you think that has anything to do with Survivor Australia, Eddie? Do you think they've picked up on how they may do things and say, you know, we ought to maybe do that
God.
Here?
Oh, my God. Australia is night and day. Night and day. The production value, the length they're out there, the challenges, the psychological, it's night and day. They're actually playing Survivor, you know?
Yeah.
And who wins it deserves to win it. I mean, Liz plays an incredible game. George is one of the best strategists I've ever seen play the game of any Survivor. That guy is an unbelievable strategist.
I think somehow we're going to see a USA versus Australia.
And I think that would be a smart play. But I hope that Australia doesn't go back to the shitty what the U.S. has done to Survivor. You know, it's nowhere near what we liked. Where Australia, South Africa, they're just like, they're hot to trot, they're Survivors. They're just, they are so good at showing you stuff. I mean, like Jim and I have been discussing it, you know, about South Australia. You know, it's an unbelievable season. Just to watch the last season is just unbelievable how they play the game. You know, it's the strategy, the social game, the endurance. You know, people are actually win it who deserve to win it. Then it's not all, let's play panty cake and social game and go see the Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music. You know, Survivor US has become a joke with all that. They need to go back to some of their basics. And they need to get rid of all these damn idols.
It has, the severity of the game has been really watered down until the biggest strategy in the whole game is, you know, are the idols and advantages. That's the biggest strategy. Who's got one? Who's got a fake one?
The thing that happened was Matthew climbing a hill like Tarzan and falling off of it.
Yeah,
you know?
And every time I saw that scene, I just felt it in my body, just like a cringe.
You go, why in the hell would he do that? You know, it's just what was the hell was he thinking? You know,
Risk versus reward. Risk versus reward. Your reward, hey, you climbed a rock. The risk, you're a medevac.
You tore your shoulders up.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but JB, you
what
watch
you
Australia
do
too, don't
camera
you?
Side.
JB, don't
yeah,
you watch
I,
Australia?
I did watch Survivor Australia, and I watched it on YouTube, and they did have full episodes of Australia Heroes versus Villains.
And you enjoyed it?
I did. I liked it. They showed. I know when I called Eddie one time, he said, Jim, the challenges are more brutal. And after I start watching it, I thought, you know what? These people from United States, they would be pooped after about a couple minutes. And
that last challenge on Australia, when they have to sit out on that rock with the waves crashing them and those pointed objects, and you could see when they each fell off how badly they had to be helped off the set. It was the endurance was unbelievable. You know,
I didn't.
That's the only challenge
that I didn't get to see.
Well, you'll see it. They're gonna show it. They're gonna put it on YouTube. But it's an unbelievable final episode. How it all plays out.
Melissa,
you know,
do you watch it?
No, I don't.
Okay. Teresa, do you watch Survivor Australia?
You would love it, Melissa. You'd really enjoy it.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
What about you, Reggie? Do you watch it?
What's that?
Survivor Australia.
No, I do not.
Steve?
No, I've only seen snippets of it on YouTube. The one thing I will say about Australia, though, is I do like the fact that their host basically lets tribal council, instead of having tribal council be all about himself like Jeff Probst loves to do, he really allows basically the tribe to take over, essentially.
Yeah.
And
start
questioning each other.
You know, and Steve, that brings back up our – you remember our Whispers games when I'd be hosting Tribal? And I would ask this really hot, open-ended question that was going to get everybody fired up, and everybody would start talking, and I'd just sit back and watch.
Right. You know, the difference – there's a huge difference between Australia's host and you know, Jeff Probst.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Probst loves to hear himself talk, which is why we hear him talk way too much during Tribal. While I believe the Australian host, what is his name? La Paglia or something, Eddie?
Yeah,
I like him. I like him.
Jonathan La Paglia.
He's very good.
Actually, like, he keeps the talking, if anything, to a minimum, and essentially allows whoever is attending tribal council that night, you know, to basically direct the flow of the conversation.
And the challengers are about the players, not about the host. Jeff makes the challenges about him.
Yeah, that's another thing I've noticed from the limited amount of Australia I've seen is that you very rarely hear Jonathan even speak during challenges.
You know, you really get to see the challenge, and they are brutal. I mean, I don't see how the American players, Jam Jam couldn't make it to the first challenge.
let me put it this way, Jim. You may see, if we see an Australian survivor versus USA survivor, you may see some Australian survivors quit just so that they don't have to listen to Probst anymore.
Exactly.
Well, I was thinking if they did a season like that, I think they would incorporate both hosts.
Yes.
But I don't know how they would do it. I guess maybe they would alternate challenges and alternate tribals. I don't know.
Well, you hope that Jeff wouldn't have control of it. You hope that he wouldn't take control of the whole show.
Well, I think he probably would, though. I think he probably would.
And that would destroy it.
Well,
I mean, the production value in Australia is so high. It is just such a high production level. It would be a shame to see them have to lower to the U.S. production level.
What they would probably do is they would probably do what the challenge is doing right now with the World Championship, where they would have the hosts of all four versions be at the challenges, be at the elimination rounds. They would find a way to integrate Jonathan La Paglia into the show in some capacity, whether he would be at both the challenge as well as tribal council. I think CBS would bring him in just to have a very minimal role. I think Probst would be forced to basically swallow his pride and share the screen with La Paglia.
Don't underestimate Jeff's connection to the network. He's their guy, not the guy from Australia.
And
no,
two,
I know
last,
that, but...
the last five seasons of Survivor players, very few of them could stand up to the Australian players. Very few of them could do the endurance that they're doing over there.
But
they just couldn't do it.
But for what they're doing in the United States, Jesse's put together good cast. He knows what Jeff's looking for, what they need.
He's doing a damn good. That's going for the ratings. We're enjoying the cast. I totally agree with you, Jim. I like the cast. It's not that I don't like them. It's just that I miss the really hard players. I miss the gameplay. And Steve mentioned the challenge. Listening to those players play the game is so much fun. That's more than just watching the challenges. How they're playing the game is amazing on the challenge. I'm just watching every episode of it. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. You know?
Yeah.
The U.S. players are running it. I mean, but they're all old survivors. They're all ones that really played the game. You know? They're not these little minky people that are panda bears or Mary Poppins. You know, none of them could survive the challenge or could survive Australia.
But if you're gonna do a season like that, you're gonna do returnees. It's not gonna be newbies. You're gonna do returnees, so you got to stop and consider who the U.S. would put up there. I mean, you might see people like Parvati, Tyson, Rob, Tony, Sandra,
Tyson, Tony, Sandra,
yeah, Tyson,
Ben, Danny. Tyson's an unbelievable player.
Yeah, Danny, Dom, Wendell,
Sarah. I mean. My God, she's playing an incredible game on
the
challenge.
So, I think the U.S. could, put together a good team of players that you're kind of describing that could compete.
Players.
Yeah, that could compete.
I mean, definitely Danny and Sarah and Tony and Ben.
Yeah.
And. What's her name? The girl that won Big Brother that's on the challenge, JC, or what's her name, Steve?
Casey.
God, that is one strong player.
Yep. Bring back
Big Brother lady.
Bring back Sydney, the fitness model now. They ain't an ounce of fat on that woman.
Oh, man.
I mean, U.S. has some great players, but would they bring them in? I mean, they have to bring them in to stand up to the Australian players. There's no way they could beat the Australian players otherwise.
Okay. All right, we've got Tim on the show now. How you doing, Tim?
Thank you.
Hey, y'all, I'm going to take off and call it a night. Talk to y'all later,
Reggie.
Okay? All right, bye-bye,
have
y'all.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's a night.
Well, other than my Phillies, I've been doing pretty good.
So they didn't have a good opener?
No, they were up 5-0, gave up like 9 runs in the 5th inning and lost 11-6, or 11-7. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, not as bad as the Reds. It's worse than the Reds did.
Yeah, it's funny because they never hit Jacob deGrom, but they got like 5 runs and 6 extra base hits off of him, and then they just completely shit the bed.
Yeah.
So what did you think about the show last night?
It sucks for Matthew seeing him go, but... play stupid games, win stupid prizes, you know?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I love that scene at the journey with Carolyn and
Danny
and Brandon. That was great. The thing with Carolyn, I think Carolyn's problem at the end is she made decisions too much based off of personal instead of game. Because I feel like that's what it was with Sarah, based on the exit interview. And that's not going to help her, and I'm not sure she can talk to a jury either, based on what I've seen of her. And what else was I thinking about?
I know you want to cover the best made fake idol in the history of the show.
I was just about to mention that. Oh my god, that was so bad.
Oh man.
that was so terrible. Like that might be legit the worst lie ever.
I'm on the phone.
And Jam just says, he came apart.
My God.
My granddaughter
so
could make a better idol.
Yeah. That was too funny.
Yep. But did you hear us talking about trying to blow up that picture of all 12 of them walking in?
Yes, I did hear that.
What do you think? It was just a challenge with everyone for themselves. You think maybe we had two teams of six? Do you think six are safe? Do you think six vote or six are safe but all 12 vote? I mean, this thing can go any direction. It could just be something so simple that it was won by one person.
I think it's definitely a two-team thing because they like to do that now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what they did, and I think half of them are going to be safe. And wasn't it mentioned earlier the hourglass twist that was back in some form? If so, maybe this is where they bring that back.
I could do without that hourglass.
Oh, my God, so could I. I hate that thing.
But we know – with what happened with Matthew, we know Josh was going to be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this extra couple of days could benefit him? Or do you think, as we saw in the promo, he's telling everybody that Jam Jam's a snake, and I brought up a few things. He made the worst fake idol ever. He lied about his occupation and got caught on that. He tried to show the same clue twice. I mean, he's playing pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And now he's going to go after Jam Jam, and you know everybody's probably going to love him to death.
Oh, yeah. You know? There's no way. I see no way Josh is getting out of this one with the way he's going about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either.
If he would have gone after somebody like Brandon, and if he would have gone after like Brandon or Danny, then people might have gone for it.
Hmm. All right, everybody don't accidentally get disconnected and don't hang up. We're going into the overtime hour. So everybody just hang tight and don't do anything wacky, and you'll have one more hour. Okay, Tim, you can continue now.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking people would have bought it more because of that. Because, like, you could already see Carolyn distrusting those guys. And they're both big physical guys, especially Brandon, having been a former football player.
Yeah.
And so you would think if he targeted one of those two guys, he might have gotten some traction on it.
Yeah, but see, with the information that she's going to be able to share, being the time that it is merge, those are the ones that usually get targeted anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's heard it straight from their mouth, and they mentioned Josh, and it's like I said earlier, if Josh becomes a target, Danny and Brandon will get rid of him quicker than a hot wing going off of my plate.
That's pretty quick. That's pretty damn quick.
All right, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to use my executive power. I'm taking the third hour off. Steve's going to lead you guys into whatever you want to talk about. If you want to bring up more stuff about the show that we haven't talked about, if you want to talk about Survivor Australia, because I'm sure Tim's got thoughts about that too, because I know he watches.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
What would he think about a USA versus Australia season?
You know,
so y'all can talk about that. If just whatever you want to talk about, enjoy it, and make sure you're back next Thursday night when we do this again, and we'll see who won immunity and who's going home. And don't forget Sports Whispers Weekly podcast on Saturday night. And our live chats on Wednesday night in Whispers. And I should be back active next Wednesday on Twitter. So you guys have fun, and I will see you next week.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
And you have
right,
a good day.
Jim.
Good week.
Night, Jim.
Night. Night, Jim.
All right. All right, so... It's funny that he brings up Australian Survivor because, Tim, before you came on the air, we were talking about Australian a potential Australian Survivor versus USA Survivor season. How do you think it would go? What do you think? How do you think they would work out the two hosts, you know, Jeff Probst and Jonathan LaPaglia? What do you think of the potential for a USA versus Australia season?
I think that would be, like, the best thing they could do for ratings right now is USA versus Australia. Because Australian Survivor is pretty hot right now. This last season was so good. Honestly, the only problem I have with Australian Survivor is how poorly they edit the show. Because they leave a lot of people out. And I don't really like that too much. In the earlier, in the first couple of seasons, they've done 24 players every season. Like the first couple of seasons, they did a much better job of giving everyone, you know, more equal airtime. But then they started doing these really uneven edits, and it's like, I really don't like that. Just get, like, you got to give more of an even playing field on the airtime, I think. The other thing, for how it would work for the hosts, this is what I think they would do, probably. I think Jeff and Jonathan would do the challenges together, but when the Australian team goes to Tribal Council, Jonathan would do the tribals. When the USA team goes to Tribal, Jeff would do the tribals. And then at Merge, maybe they both do it. I don't really know. But that would be my guess. And I would really want to see... and Australia versus U.S. season, and maybe even throw the South Africans in there too, because their Survivor is good too.
You know, that would be kind of interesting, and it would actually make sense. You know, that maybe perhaps they would have Probst do USA's tribal, and they would have Jonathan do Australia's tribal.
Yeah.
Obviously, it would get kind of confusing when they would merge. Because, you know, it would be, you would probably have to have the both of them at Tribal at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I would find interesting, though, is how would they be able, because obviously, you know, if you're bringing in Australian players, you're going to want to be able to find a way to get the Australian public to be able to watch.
Oh, that's not a problem. They already have the, the Channel 10 would likely air it because right now, from what I'm aware, you can see all the U.S. seasons on the Channel 10 website in Australia. Probably also air the U.S. seasons, but I don't really know. But I definitely think it wouldn't be much of a problem getting it aired down there.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
I think what would be better is having a USA versus USA versus Australian Survivor on at Australia. Have Jonathan be the host for theirs. And you could also have USA versus Australian Survivor with Jeff Probst, with Jeff hosting, at a different time too. And all I can say right now is the USA versus Australia with Jonathan hosting, I think would be better than the USA versus Australia with Jeff hosting.
But then again, at the same time, we go back to
Not at the same time.
No, I'm not saying it. But I'm not saying it like that. What I'm saying is, at the same time, you also have to take into account that just like how would Australian people be able to watch the USA version, how would USA people be able to watch the Australian version if we're going to have two different versions of the same exact type taking place?
Because they're a day ahead of us.
Yeah. And not just that, I'm pretty sure you can't watch Australian Survivor anywhere in the U.S. except on the internet.
That is correct.
Well, there are ways to watch it. I'm just not going to say it.
Well, I know that's why I said the internet, Eddie.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I know
the internet is
a way
to watch
it. I know there are ways to watch it, but obviously they're going to want to be able to capitalize on, the fact that they're going to have two different seasons. I mean, let's take into account where the ratings are right now. So far this season, they got back up into the $5 million viewer range, which is an increase. We're getting back to what the ratings were at the beginning of last season. Each version of the show, they're going to want to have as many people watching as possible. So, especially when you have both versions of the show clash, like the proposal here would be. So they would have to find a way, maybe put the Australian version of the show just for that one specific season on Paramount Plus, maybe in the United States.
Because the way they do the challenge, they'd have to do it way they do the challenge.
Yeah. Pretty much the way they do the challenge, where the challenge global edition, instead of putting it on CBS, they put it on Paramount Plus because, as long as you have a Paramount Plus account, you can watch it anywhere, whether you're in Canada, United States, Brazil, who knows. But I do think it would be kind of interesting to see who would come out on top when it came to Australian Survivor versus USA Survivor. Because I know Eddie, there's been quite a few times on the show where when you've called into the podcast where you've said that literally Australian Survivor is miles ahead of US Survivor in terms of competitors. And I would find it interesting to see just exactly who would actually come out on top, because so far, granted, Survivor is one thing, but if the challenge is anything to go by, USA is dominating not just Australia, but Argentina and the UK.
They're all seasoned players. They're not all these newbies. The ones that are making it on the challenge are seasoned players that really played the game.
Right.
So that would be the difference. And you know, Tim, you hit it on the head right there too, Steve, what Tim said. What Australia has done, they've invited U.S. survivors onto their show. They wouldn't even have to consult the U.S. All they'd need to do is invite 10 American players to come play on Australia. And, you know,
that would be 12 because they would be 12.
You're right, Tim. You're right. That'd be 12. But I'm sure they could get 12 players in the U.S. for the right amount to come and play over in Australia. And it would have nothing to do with CBS.
Oh, probably.
And, like, they've had Russell Hance. They had Sandra and her daughter. So.
Yeah. And Nina's played an incredible game.
At the same time, though, you have to keep in mind that certain players they may want to have. Like, for example, they got Sandra and they got Russell, but I'm pretty sure that Sandra's contract with CBS has long expired, even since Winners at War, and the same goes for Russell. Russell's been blacklisted from CBS, so,
But like Ben, Sarah, Tony, all of them would play it. They would all
They probably would, but CBS would probably want something in return. They would probably want some sort of Australian survivors would probably get to come on to the USA version, but I think CBS would want some way to be able to air the show themselves as well.
Well, like Tim and I were saying, Australia doesn't really need CBS to ask those players to come play. You know, they're already playing in other games, all these players. They're already playing other games, the challenge, the different things they're playing. So they could get asked by Australia, and, I mean, most of them would probably jump at the chance. It's such a superb game.
Yeah, but there's one thing to keep in mind, though. There's one thing to keep in mind, though. MTV, CBS, Paramount, they're all under the same banner. So technically, they're under the same contract.
Yeah, that's true. I see what you're saying, Steve.
But, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think that you have to give some in order to get some. So if USA wanted Australia to come over, wanted Australian survivors to come over, and vice versa, Australia wanted USA survivors to come over, there would have to be some sort of agreement between CBS and whoever does the show in Australia.
But Nina didn't have to have any agreement. She went and played, American, and she didn't play.
Yeah, but that's different because she never played U.S. Survivor.
Yeah, she never played U.S., that's right. But Sandra, Russell played it.
Yeah, but with Sandra, I think after she quit Winners at War, they probably released her from her contract at that point because they knew, she's not interested anymore. She's not going to be coming back, period.
Yeah.
So, that's my speculation.
Her daughter's a damn good player.
Yeah, I noticed she got, fifth? I think.
Yeah, she
in
got
this
fifth.
Most
fourth.
Recent.
Fourth or fifth?
Yeah.
Fifth. Yeah.
Fifth. It was fifth because George got fourth.
Fifth, yeah. George got fourth, yeah. What did you think of that, Tim, George? I think the only reason George didn't make it to the final three, that he was loyal to Jerry.
I mean, his blunder was keeping Matt over Nina at five.
I think that's why Liz did what she did.
I agree.
But also, he was screwed if Liz won immunity in that situation anyhow. But also, at that
what
point...
What do you think
if,
of that last
if you're
challenge?
Like, I didn't really like that one, to be honest.
God,
it felt like it was. I felt like it was meant for a certain body type. That was something that benefited like Liz or Maddie more than anyone else. It fit like a small athletic body type, and
yeah.
I felt it should have been something anyone could win.
God, that was a tough one though, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Yeah, that was definitely a tough one.
By the way, for anybody interested in the challenge, anybody who watched the challenge CBS, they are doing a second season, and from what it sounds like a majority of the cast is going to be Big Brother. So yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh Jesus.
At least
I probably
won't
be watching that.
From my understanding, a lot of the cast is going to be in Big Brother 24, from Big Brother 24, the most recent
okay.
season.
Okay, pass. I'm out.
Yeah. So, it's, honestly, you know, it's not just going to be that. There's also apparently going to be a couple of, MTV challenge people that are also going to be put in. I do know that there have apparently been some Survivor people that have been called, some more recent Survivor people, like for example, you're probably not going to see somebody from as far back as Sarah get called. But like maybe somebody like Cody from last season or Cassidy from last season, you know,
or
you're going to see
or
yeah,
the muscle
well,
guy
yeah,
that,
yeah, Jesse, but I don't think Jesse will do it though. But my understanding is that there's a lot of people who are not happy about this, upcoming USA season, potentially. So I think that they're basically, obviously they're going to continue doing USA, I think, but I don't know. It's possible that they may just not. You know, they may stop with the USA seasons with this season. From what I know, it sounds like the only returning contestant from the first USA season will be Alyssa from Big Brother 23, who I believe got eliminated right before the final in the Challenge USA season one. Other than her, you can expect Fessy to be on. You can expect Josh to be on. Yeah, that's right. Josh Martinez, the one who's a gigantic crybaby ever since he played the Challenge. Alyssa from last season of Big Brother, she's expected to be on. Which I would expect her to probably be eliminated right away. Casey is going to be on, and then there's a whole bunch of Are You the One and some other contestants. But regardless, though, do not expect to see Danny or Sarah or a lot of people from the first season. Do not expect to see them, from what it sounds like. It sounds like it's going to be a gigantic mess. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're done after just two seasons of that spinoff. You know, they'll probably still do.
It's fun to see Tony on the challenge.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is that he's – I
I honestly think he's a little too old for the challenge. Because with Tony, I mean, let's be perfectly honest, Tony wasn't really much of a physical. Holy hell, that just scared the living Jesus out of me. if anybody didn't hear my dog barking in the background, good Lord.
I did.
Yeah, you know, Tony, he wasn't really that much of a physical type of player on Survivor. You know, he was more strategic, and with the challenge is very, very physical.
Very, very physical.
And, you know, I see Tony as mainly being a Survivor type of player. I don't see him being somebody that would want to go on the challenge.
What about the guy that in the season that Mary Beth was on, the muscle guy? What was his name?
Jonathan. I could definitely
Jonathan.
See Jonathan.
He would be a great player.
I don't know, Melissa, did you watch any of the first Challenge USA season?
Yeah. I watched the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. We talked about it on the recap show. That's right.
Yeah.
What do you think about the second USA season potentially being dominated, it seems, by Big Brother players?
Cass?
Well, you know, it depends on which players sign up for it. I was shocked. Okay, I did not like Andrea or Angela in her season of Big Brother, but I really liked her on the challenge. Same with Alyssa. I did not like Alyssa on Big Brother, but I did like her on the challenge. Okay? There were several people, the different shows that I watched, that I really liked on the challenge. It's just a matter of there. You know, I didn't mind when Josh Martinez won Big Brother. I didn't mind that at all, but I don't think that I'm going to like – I don't think I would like him on the challenge.
I think it's a matter
so
of some people are just a better
–
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of some people are just better fits for different shows.
Yeah, Kylan, I did not like what's his butt? The one that Xavier. I thought Xavier was full of himself. So I didn't really like them on the challenge too much.
Well,
but
I'll
I think
right
if they
now,
put the right ones in there.
You won't like Josh because he's become a prissy little bitch ever since he debuted on the challenge.
Yeah. Well, I figured that. But I don't know. Some of the people from Big Brother could probably do a pretty good job. Frank Udi would probably be good. Monty, possibly. Well, actually, I couldn't stand Monty. Actually, I liked him up until he had his talk with Taylor. But anyway... He might do really
Monty,
well on the challenge.
Monty is one of the rumored names from 24.
Yeah. And I know Taylor's not going to do it.
You can count Joseph out as well.
Yeah. Which is fine because I don't think he was very physically. I don't think he was a really physical guy. So I don't know. I mean, it just really depends on who it is that they get.
Yeah,
I do know
that it's likely going to be a mix, that you're not going to see just CBS contestants. I don't know. That's why they're not calling it the Challenge CBS anymore, because it's not going to be CBS contestants. It's going to be CBS, MTV. It's going to be basically... it's going to be basically if
the challenge integrated itself with CBS and they put it on Paramount Plus, essentially. But, you know, it's honestly, I just haven't really. I actually have to watch some of the episodes that have aired recently, because I'm actually running a little bit behind on on the challenge, but. You know, it's kind of weird that, you know, I kind of think that the reason why they did the Challenge USA is so that they could somehow bring, you know, they could bring in more competitors for the main version of the show and see who exactly would work out on a season of the Challenge and who wouldn't. And obviously, as we've seen, you know, Sarah and Danny, you know, they're two very, very strong competitors. And from what it seems like they're basically going to be pretty much the same here. I mean, Sarah and Danny, out of all the international winners, these two are probably the most dangerous out of all of the international winners that haven't been on the main version of the challenge. I mean, they have some of the challenge veterans are awestruck by some of the strategy that they've been working on this season, from what I've heard.
Oh God, yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, it makes sense. You know, they've been on Survivor, so literally Survivor is, you're basically thinking strategy 24/7.
Essentially. Yeah, Danny's been an incredible game.
Yeah, you know, I found it kind of strange with Danny that we've kind of seen his edit sort of taper off a little bit now after a strong couple of episodes. You know, we've seen him kind of die down just a little bit.
Well, on the one that aired the other night, he's on it quite a bit. Excuse me. He's on it quite a bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously we had, I'm talking in terms of strategy. I mean, yeah, he made a dumbass decision to, you know, gush over a bros alliance with Brandon. But, you know, as far as strategy goes, we've seen it kind of die down a little bit with him after the whole hidden immunity idol stuff. And, you know, digging through the bag of Jamie the last week. But, oh, you know, this is something that that Jim forgot to bring up. Tim, what are your thoughts on Franny seemingly friend-zoning Matt last night?
Brutal. Wait, I don't think she friend-zoned him. I think she said she would date him on the outside.
Yeah, but
I feel like
she did. She said that that they're going to go out for dinner to an Ethiopian restaurant together, and if anything comes of that, it would not hurt her feelings, and that she did not have a crush on Matt.
Yeah, so that's not friend-zoning to me.
No. She's definitely, you know, everybody keeps saying that she is gay, but I think she's probably bisexual because I think she can go either way.
Well, the one thing I can say about that is obviously that argument will never die between the fandom. As far as to whether or not, you know, what her orientation is for her sexuality or whatnot. But
and you know what? Who cares? I mean, if she goes out with Matt, that I just don't understand the big issue with it.
Oh, I'm not saying it's a big issue. I just, you know, as I mentioned previously, I said she could potentially lead to Matt's downfall, if anything, because of the way that Matt's story has been, is that he's a loser at basically everything.
Well,
and,
I don't know.
And him getting rejected would basically be that final nail in the coffin as he's then voted out. But anyways.
I don't know. I think Franny's going to go first, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I would think that they would probably look at Matt first.
I don't know.
Before they would look at Franny.
Interesting to see.
When you look at the both of them, I mean, who strikes out, or, you know, who strikes somebody who looks at the game strategically, who would strike them as looking more nerdy, Matt or Franny? You know, who would be the one that people would look at and say, oh, he's going to be a threat at puzzles, or they're going to be a threat at puzzles?
I think he looks like the biggest nerd. He looks more of a nerd than Franny. He acts more of a nerd than Franny. I think Franny looks to be a bigger threat than Matt.
I'll tell you one thing. It's a shame him and Kane haven't been on the same island at any point this season, because they could nerd out over Dungeons and Dragons, maybe.
Yeah, but he's nerding out with Carson over, what, Lord of the Rings and Star Wars
One
and stuff
ring
like that.
To rule them all.
Yeah.
And by
so,
the
I
way.
Mean, when Gordon Holmes asked Matthew today names, things that come to mind when he says the player's name, when he said Kane, he said big nerd. But when he said Carson, he said he's the most intelligent man I've ever met. And Gordon Holmes says, I was expecting little nerd. That's funny. Anyway.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't be wrong when you consider that Kane towers over Carson.
Big nerd and little nerd.
But, you know, honestly, though, Carson probably doesn't give off as much of a nerdy type of vibe out there on the island as Kane does. Let's not forget, Matthew had been out there on the island since the beginning of the entire season with Kane. And by the way, it does look like the hidden immunity idols have expired for
yeah.
Carson and Jamie. So, because I believe it was that until the merge, right?
Who knows if this is actually a merge, right?
True. I mean, I would find it interesting if they do end up talking about it in, you know, one way that you can tell if it's an actual merge is if they talk about their idols having expired in confessionals. Because what they're probably going to do is they'll probably edit, you know, diary room session or diary room, confessional sessions from Carson or Jamie that take place after the merge has already happened. Because we've seen it happen before where you know, confessionals have been placed out of turn. Like, for example, somebody could have a beard starting to grow in one episode, but yet in that same episode in their confessional, they look like they don't even have a beard at all. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they sort of insert a confessional that was done later on down the line from either Carson or Jamie, and they place it right in there to basically confirm the expiration of those two hidden immunity idols. But I, you know, honestly though, what because you know Jim didn't come to me for this one. When, you know, if Josh somehow survives this upcoming week, you gotta think it's probably Kane that's gonna be at risk. Because, I mean, honestly, of the people that he named, that Jim named as being in trouble, Josh, Kane, Brandon, you know, people you have to start looking at, I would think that if it isn't Josh, it has to be Kane. Because Brandon, you know, I don't know. It just, we haven't really seen a lot of, literally the first little bit of stuff that we've seen of Brandon that doesn't have to do with the challenge was literally yesterday on the Journey segment that we saw. I don't know. I guess it's going to be very interesting to see what we have coming up here. And we also have to remember, too, that Lauren still has the extra vote. Let's see. Jamie still does. Or wait, no. Jamie still has the fake hidden immunity idol. So who knows if she'll end up actually playing that, and we'll get some sort of payoff from that. Danny still has his idol. Carolyn still has her idol. And obviously, with there being a potential merge, that would probably mean that the merge idol would be put into play. And who knows, you know, with Matt leaving with his idol, could the Ratu, I don't know if Jim mentioned this, but could the Ratu idol potentially be back in play before they merge? What do you guys think? Do you think that we could see potentially a segment of somebody at Ratu finding the idol quickly before they merge?
I don't think so.
You don't think so, JB? You think they'll just they'll go into the merge with just two idols?
I think they'll either go into the merge with two idols, or they'll take those idols and they'll, you know, re-hide them.
Well, they can't re-hide the two idols because they're currently owned by two different players. If they were going to re-hide any idol, they would re-hide Matthew's idol. As he ended
okay,
up leaving,
maybe
with the
that's
idol in his pocket.
maybe that's the one that I was thinking, Matthew's idol, and not the other two. I can see where the other ones will try to play theirs, and he'll say, "I'm sorry that's expired," and even though they know it's expired. I can see one of them trying to play their idol just to see if they can pull one over. and they won't be able to.
What do you think, Melissa? Do you think that there's a potential that we could see the Ratu idol get rehidden, and then maybe somebody finds it before they merge?
I doubt it. I think they'll probably save it until after the merge and then rehide it. Because if all of the idols that they had say that they are no good anymore until or after the merge, then I would think that they will wait until after the merge and then put in new idols.
What are your thoughts on that, Eddie? Do you think that maybe perhaps we could see the idol get rehidden right before the merge hits, and maybe somebody like Brandon ends up finding it quickly? Eddie, are you there? He must have himself on mute, possibly. I don't know. Maybe it's possible that they could just rehide that idol as the merge idol instead. And obviously, you know, there's the possibility too that we could have the hourglass twist as well, which, you know, Jim did tease that could potentially be coming back, which I don't even want to think about it at this point. The potential of having the hourglass twist once again completely screw up another season.
I hope the word is potential and it doesn't come about.
Well, yeah, I think everybody does at this point.
But is it really going to happen? Well, if Jim brings it up, it probably will happen. Otherwise, he wouldn't have brought it up.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You don't know. You don't know if it's actually going to happen, or because the thing is they haven't really teased it recently. So, you know, and the last we knew was that it was officially dead. You know, it wasn't coming back after the last time we had seen it. So I don't know, but it should definitely be very interesting to see just exactly how the merge is affected here, because, you know, obviously we have Carson at Ratu, we have Jamie who's a part of Soka, and Josh, who's a part of Tika. Do all three of them go back to their original tribes? Does one stay working with that tribe that they're on? Maybe perhaps one of them tries to bring together both of their tribes. There's a lot of variables that are going to come into play.
Yeah.
But anyways, we got about 14 minutes left on tonight's show. So anything anybody wants to bring up? Anything anybody wants to talk about at all? Something that somebody may have noticed? Or
I don't know.
There's something. You know how Danny was saying, okay, breathe, and he had him doing those stupid breathing exercises?
Oh,
and
God,
their stomach
yeah,
was
the
going
yoga,
in and out. Okay.
The
you
yoga
know,
stuff.
If you go to, like, Instagram, it's called, it's Danny Matha, and he's got a actual website for that breathing technique. And if I remember correctly, I saw this before when I was first looking at social medias for all of the players. And I remember him saying that if you tape your mouth shut at night, it forces you to breathe through your nose, and you will find that you will not have to get up in the middle of the night to pee. Because apparently breathing with
Wait,
your mouth
what?
Open triggers triggers some kind of something that makes you have to pee.
What in the blue hell?
Yep. I was sitting there watching it going, what the? Yeah.
That does not make any sense whatsoever.
I know. You'd have to watch it yourself because.
So, Steve, try it. Try it and see what, you know, let us know what happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Don't worry. I'll be sure to do a little experiment.
Or tell Jim to do it. He'd say, fuck that shit.
I know. I was scratching my head saying, oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
I'm just very surprised that that's even a thing. Although maybe what did you say that you know if you're breathing with your if you sleep with your mouth open you're more likely to have to pee.
Have to get up in the middle of the night to pee. Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, that could have.
That if you keep your mouth closed, then you will find that you wouldn't have to get up to pee.
Well, how the hell do you keep your mouth closed? Unless
taping
you tape
your mouth
it shut.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Tape your mouth shut. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, I'm just... that's definitely a new one. That's definitely, who knows? Maybe I can try it one of these times. But would be kind of funny if that's actually proven false.
Or Melissa, you try it and let us know.
I mean, what happens if your nose gets stuffed up? What happens if your nose gets stuffed up and everything?
Yeah, I know,
so
right?
You have a stuffed up nose, and then all of a sudden you try to breathe through your mouth, but your mouth is taped up, and thus you can't breathe through both. And next thing you know, you suffocate to death.
Right, that's what I was thinking too. As stuffy as my nose is all the time. Dead before dawn. Yep.
So next week's title is called Survivor with a capital S. Which, I mean, granted, that may mean absolutely nothing, but at the same time, you know, people could look at it and see, well, okay, maybe they go back to old school, to old fashioned Survivor, and maybe perhaps, you know, we don't see players go based off of tribal lines.
Right.
then again, maybe it's just a random quote. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
But anyways,
need more ads for it.
Yeah. Like I mentioned, though, the Survivor season so far, it looks like they've had quite the rebound when it comes to the ratings in terms of in terms of the episodes so far. We've seen a rise of about 500,000 viewers since the premiere episode, and actually the ratings share between the ages of 18 to 49 have also increased as well, which is technically pretty encouraging, actually, for the show itself. Because now they're starting to regain the viewers that they may have lost from last season. But, you know, I still think that one of the things that we definitely have to see moving forward here is we definitely need to see some sort of edit come into focus for Jam Jam, because otherwise, honestly, if we're going based off of the edit he has now, I'm finding it kind of hard to look at him as a winner of this season.
Well, that's why I said he's kind of like a WTF this season.
You would be like, how the hell did he get there?
Yeah, it would be if his edit continues the way it is now, it would be very odd to see him as the winner of this season. So you kind of have to think that with the way that sometimes edits pick up at the merge, that he has to have some sort of big hand moving forward in whatever happens come merge time. Mm-hmm. I don't know, though. It's definitely something to look at moving forward, because, you know, the more that I know Jim said that the winner would be beloved, but honestly, the more that we see of this edit so far, Carolyn is being edited like the big personality of the season. Like, she's getting an edit that you would kind of expect out of a winner. I would almost consider her edit to be a winner's edit. So for her to not win, she has to just completely screw up at some point especially if it has to do with Final Tribal. I mean, it's just, I just don't see how she loses right now with this edit. And actually, there's a little bit of an interesting tidbit here. This is the first Survivor season where only women were specifically voted out before the merge. Bruce and Matthew were also eliminated, but they were medevacs,
so technically it doesn't count. But for a Survivor season to have had women voted out before the merge, Survivor 44 is the first season in Survivor history where only women were voted out pre-merge.
Hey, real quick, I gotta go.
Okay.
And I'll call you.
Okay,
I'll call next week.
All right.
Bye, JB.
Hi, JB. Well, actually, you know what? Come to think of it, we got about 2 minutes left, anyways, so we're probably gonna wrap it up here. A big thank you to everybody who joined us tonight. Obviously, like Jim said, we'll be back next week for another edition of the Survivor 44 recap show. And obviously, I have the Sports Whispers Weekly taking place on Saturday night. If anybody who's a wrestling fan, we're going to be doing some WrestleMania coverage. Of course, WrestleMania is two nights this year, but we're going to have some of that. If you haven't done so yet, subscribe to the Missy AE podcast by going to blogtalkradio.com/MissyAE, or you can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, any of the major podcast networks around. You can find us basically anywhere. So until next Saturday,
Melissa, thank you, buddy.
Bye, Eddie.
Yep, good night, y'all. Eddie. Good night, Melissa. And good night, everybody. We will see you guys next Thursday night for another edition of the Survivor 44 recap show.